Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. As the economic recovery continues to sputter, there are still thousands of people in North Carolina facing foreclosure or struggling to keep their homes. And there are scam artists with new schemes trying to take advantage of them. Here to talk about it is Al Ripley with the North Carolina Justice Center. Well, Al, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. It's good to see you.
First, let's talk about the foreclosure situation in North Carolina. We've heard so much about there's a perception maybe among some members of the public that sort of the housing crisis is behind us, but it doesn't seem to be the case.
Well, we'd certainly like to think that, but unfortunately, recent data shows that we've still got a ways to go, and that's for a couple reasons. There's still mortgage servicers out there who have decided to slow down the foreclosure process because there's so many homes on the market right now that they don't want another bottleneck. So some of the foreclosures that could go through right now are being slowed down a little bit, but they still expect them to happen. The other problematic thing is we've now got a wave of state employees who are being laid off and losing their jobs, and we can expect those folks to start facing foreclosure problems in 3, 6, 9 months from now. And so that will further exacerbate what we have going on right now in North Carolina.
I want to ask you a little bit about the legislation, but your answer reminded me of stories that I've seen lately about sort of new, I don't know whether, I guess they'd be predatory lending, but new sort of scams for folks who are having trouble paying their mortgage, which sort of took the place of some old scams.
Yes, yes. We call them foreclosure rescue scams, and they're two varieties. One is where you're approached by someone who promises to fix every problem you have with the foreclosure. They take your money, and you never hear from them again. We call that phantom help. And then the other foreclosure scam, they actually take title to your house and tell you that they'll sell the house back to you or rent it to you for 2 years and you can buy it back 2 years later. And in fact, what they're doing is stealing any equity you have in the home. So we see these in circumstances, usually with folks that have some equity in the house that otherwise they'd be able to get if they sold the home. But these folks manage to get the title from the homeowner, and then 2 years later or even a year later, they kick that person out, refinance the home and so forth.
Let's talk about some legislation. I guess Senate Bill 1015, the Homeowner and Home Buyer Protection Act, and the Home Buyer Protection Act, House Bill 64, I guess.
That was an interesting development. Last year, we passed a wonderful piece of legislation to try to stop these foreclosure rescue scammers, and that was Senate Bill 1015. And it has been, so far, working well. It also addressed problems with what we call lease option contracts and contracts for deeds and added additional protections there. Well, this year in the legislative session, we had a bill with the exact same title, same name, but with a complete different purpose. House Bill 654 was intended to gut all the protections of Senate Bill 1015 and take us back to where we were with absolutely no protections against foreclosure rescue scams and abusive lease option contracts and abusive contracts for deed. So fortunately, we were able to stop that bill in the Senate. It did get out of the House, but it did not get anywhere in the Senate. We were able to stop it. We'll have to keep our eye on it next year, but hopefully we can keep it there.
And what are folks saying at this time when foreclosures are still a huge problem? Why in the world, what's the justification for trying to undo some of the progress that we made?
There's no legitimate justification. It was a lot of the folks who were doing this were basically saying that it was impeding their good work and good efforts and legitimate business operations. Well, that's simply not the case. There are legitimate lease option contracts that this law in no way inhibits. It allows those to go forward. What it stopped was the abusive and fraudulent acts that we saw in the marketplace. And so the bill was very, very good, and it was really disingenuous of anyone to say that they want to undo it to improve economic conditions, because it's just folks that are trying to continue to perpetrate fraud against people.
Another thing North Carolina has maybe that some states don't, the Foreclosure Prevention Fund. Tell us about that and how that works.
That has been a very good program. It was started about 5 years ago as the Home Protection Program with the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency. And it was a relatively small program, started out with 8 counties and then built up to 16 and now covers the entire state. And then most recently, we had an injection of TARP funds, around $400 million to loan to people that are at risk for losing their homes. And that is a wonderful gift for North Carolina that is hopefully going to enable many thousands of people to stay in their homes, continue to pay their mortgage while they look for a new job or overcome whatever hardship has gotten in the way of their maintaining their mortgage. That program is offered through the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency, and already thousands of people are applying. And anyone listening, if you're facing foreclosure problems, I'd encourage you to call the finance agency and apply as well.
Is there still a sentiment, do you think, that we have to struggle with, that it's somehow these people's fault who find themselves in this situation, or do you think we've sort of gotten beyond that?
Sadly, there's still folks that blame the homeowner for all the problems that they have, and frankly, most of the cases that we see involve people that were either put into a bad loan, which is not their fault, or they have hit a hardship, which is not their fault. They were laid off. Their hours were reduced. They had a medical problem, and they don't have health insurance. You know, there are all these contributing factors that make it difficult for some homeowners to pay their mortgage, and they're not at fault for those circumstances.
And before I let you go, I want to ask you about another issue dear to your heart that you've worked hard on, which is the effort to stop the consumer finance industry from raising their rates even further, which is a very controversial legislation. Tell us a little bit about that and where we are.
It was an intense fight. The finance companies wanted to increase the rates and fees that they charge on consumer finance loans. And we were able, with a coalition of consumer groups from all across North Carolina and the Department of Defense and all the base commanders in North Carolina, opposed this legislation. It did get out of the House, but we were able to stop it in the Senate. And we hope it'll just stay in the Senate and die a pleasant death next year and not get anywhere. But it's a very bad piece of legislation. It's going to increase the costs of small consumer loans for people who do really not have the ability to pay anymore and shouldn't have to pay anymore. And it's just a bad bill, and hopefully we won't have to deal with it again.
How much of all this falls into the regulation? We heard a lot this session about regulatory reform. We froze regulations on the environment and workplace safety and other things that not to allow them to be stricter than the federal government. How much of your fight to protect consumers got caught up in the battle about whether or not we need regulations?
Well, there are conversations around that there's some folks who, you know, purists about a free market who think that you should just be allowed to charge any interest rate you want to. And in some contexts, when you have people who have good representation, who are dealing with each other at a fair distance, that might work. But when you're dealing with people who are really vulnerable, especially low-income families, seniors, folks who do not have other alternatives and can easily be put into a situation where they'd have to pay a high interest rate and have no other choice, that's really harmful. And we do need those protections to make sure people are not abused and taken advantage of. So there is some of that conversation around lending, but it's particularly with subprime loans, you really need the protections there to stop the abuses.
Well, Al, thanks for all the work you're doing, and as always, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.